You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Which, even though they're in England, and England has its own culture, there are these places that you go to that really and truly you have another culture in with surrounded by the what we would say is the ethnic culture, which is the English culture. So when you go there, you would go and you would hear music, food, types of clothing, different things would represent that culture. This is how Christ culture is. And what I mean by this is that the world, the system of the world, has its own culture. It has a way of doing things. People without Christ, they do not know Christ. They do not follow Christ. They have a way of doing things. There is a culture. If you slap me in the face, then I'm going to have to slap you in the face or do you something worse. How many know that's the culture of our world? Songs are sung about it. You did this to me. You better not even think about doing this to me, because I'm going to do this to you. This is the culture of our world. And I could go on and on and on about the culture of the world. But what God is looking for is another culture within the world. Christ culture. What God is looking for, just like as you would go to certain areas, you'd go to and there'd be Asian food, Asian culture there. As you go to Brixton, there'd be a Jamaican culture there. Things are different. God is looking for his own culture in the world. See, what God is looking for is the church, us, to have his culture. What runs our life is Christ's culture, not the world. We're not looking to follow the world. My granddad came to England from Jamaica, and when he came here, he said that really and truly there were places he couldn't go. Places they said, no, we don't want no, you know, there's no blacks here, no Irish, no dogs. These were signs that they had on places. And so what it is that you would create an area and a culture builds up, and you bring your own culture into another culture. God wants us to maintain his culture. God has always been looking for his own people that would reflect his culture. And some of you here, you're from a different culture. Maybe from an African culture. Maybe from, I don't know, France, French culture. Maybe from Spain, Spanish culture. Amen. Maybe from, I don't know, Surrey Lane. I'm only joking. But what God is looking for, he's looking for his own culture. We need to, this is what it's all about, Christ culture. That we're different. It's nothing wrong. How many know there's nothing wrong with being different? Amen. So many times we're so insecure, we got to be like the world, follow the world. Well, it's cool to be different. We need to understand there are some things that we do differently. And tonight what we're going to look at is we do anger different than the world. We do anger different. Just like in different cultures, there's distinctives. If it's Asian culture, maybe it's food, curry. Someone said amen, hungry. If it's Chinese culture, you know, stir fry. Jamaican culture, rice and peas, curry goat, oxtail that I hate. I know some people are shaking their head like they've lost me already, man. I'm going home, I'm leaving church. How can you hate oxtail? Figure where the tail is near to though, man. Anyway, that's a whole nother sermon. That's a whole nother sermon. But the thing is this, don't worry, keep eating your oxtail, amen. But this is the point I'm making, is that there are distinctives about that culture. And I want to say to us, there is a distinctive about having Christ culture and how you deal with anger. Matthew 5 verse 21, the Bible says, "You have heard that it was said of those of old, 'You shall not murder.' And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Reka, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your spirit be in this place. Speak to us, lead us, guide us, magnify your name. Father, we put all our confidence in your word. Save in this place, deliver in this place. We really do need your refreshing, your spirit, your presence. We ask you this, knowing, Father, that you hear our prayer as we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
amen.
There is a passage of scripture that if you've been coming to this church for any length of time, you would have heard me quote it many times. One of my favorite books in the Bible is Ephesians. But Ephesians 4 verse 26 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And so this is a sermon that I believe will touch all of us. Because I think this is there isn't a person in this place that say you don't get angry. You don't feel anger. And Jesus deals with this issue of anger. He doesn't leave us without any guide. Now, let me, obviously it's Wednesday. We go a bit deeper on a Wednesday into the Word of God. And so let me break down a little bit what's happening here. Remember what we looked at last week and where we're coming from, preceding what we're reading now. Remember Jesus says, I have not come to do away with the law, but I've come to fulfill it. Remember he said that? Also, remember where Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees, you will nowise enter in. And then Jesus, we understand it becomes clear now why he says, listen, I've not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. Because at this point, Jesus says, is that you have heard that it was said of those of old. And what Jesus is, he's speaking to these Jews, and he speaks, and he's saying, listen, I know that the law has been handed down to you. I know that you think you understand about the law and about what God wants and the Ten Commandments. And so here are these Jews that say, yeah, we totally understand about the law. We know who our father is, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We understand the history of the patriarchs. We understand how Joseph went into Egypt and then also Moses, Meroe. I just put Moses and Pharaoh together there. Amen, Meroe. Hallelujah. And so it's been a long day. And so Pharaoh and Moses, and now Moses leads them out, and this whole history. So that when Jesus is saying, listen, but what Jesus is saying here, he's not saying that what was said was wrong. He's saying, but the way it's been handed to you guys, you need to be willing to understand. Jesus said, I'm going to expound to you why God put this there. See, Jesus is going to show them is that you need to be willing to go beyond the expectation of the religion of your day. And we need to understand that God would say the same thing to us today. What I mean by that is that you need to be willing to go beyond the expectation of the religion you've been handed. What that means is there are some people that we've been handed a certain moral code without fully seeking God. What does God mean? And what Jesus was said to them, remember we read last week, unless except your righteousness goes beyond the Pharisees, goes to the next level, we've got to go a bit deeper. See, Jesus is examining something here and he's revealing something also that the Jews would have thought, well, because I do not murder, I'm not really a bad guy. And how many know that's really how we think of life? Like, I'm not a murderer. Come on. Someone's like, hey, how did you do that? Why would you do that? How dare you do that? Listen. Come on, man. It's not like I murdered somebody. That's how we look. If you've ever been engaged in witnessing and evangelism, and I know every Christian should be engaged in that. And so if you've ever been engaged in any level of witnessing and evangelism, and you start to tell someone, listen, you need to repent of your sin. Repent of your sin. Turn from your sin. You need to turn from your sin to Christ. You'll go to hell if you don't repent. Listen, I'm not a murderer. It's not like I'm a murderer. Yeah, murder's wrong. But Jesus is saying we need to go a little bit beyond that. Jesus is saying, listen, you can't just think, oh, because you don't murder, you're good. He's saying, accept your righteousness, go beyond the Pharisees. We're going to have to go a little bit deeper. What Jesus is saying, let's look at the heart. Let's go deeper beyond the act of murder, but let's look into the heart of individuals. Because Jesus starts to make some connections here. And he says, this type of anger that Jesus is dealing with here, he's saying that this anger and the murder is fruit from the same tree. Jesus says it's fruit from the same tree. Now, the question we must put into this point here is that what makes you angry? What makes you angry? See, the things that make you angry, are they the things that makes God angry? Because anger is a part of life. Listen, Jesus got angry. The Bible speaks about God gets angry. He gets angry with sin. See, you cannot be good and not get angry when you see wrong being done. If I see somebody abusing a woman, see a guy walking down the street, down the corner, hey, what are you doing with that woman in there? He's abusing her. That should get me angry. Yeah, I'm angry now. No, this must stop. I will stop this. I can't just look at it and feel nothing. If I'm, I guess he's just abusing her. All right, well, anyway. How many know there can't be, if I'm not affected by it, then I'm not good. So God gets angry, but the issue is what gets us angry. See, the things that gets God angry is sin. But how many know with us, it's not always sin that's getting us angry. How many know many times what gets us angry is that you've offended us. You've offended me. You've said the wrong thing to me. You've let me down. These kids are annoying me. I mean, yeah, that's it. You know, this wife is annoying me. This husband. Oh. And so you're getting angry about things that don't get God angry. You see, once we start to come together, and we're especially in the church, how many of people in church can get you angry? Hey, come on, let's be honest. People in church can get you angry, man. And sometimes it's over the silliest things. People can say something to you, look at you a certain way. Sometimes you come into church and someone say, listen, many times I've come into church and someone has said, I'm just vexed. You just vexed me, man. Let me go back up and pray. I've come down. That's just the reality. See, are the things that gets God angry get you angry? See, sometimes someone could laugh at you and you get angry. You're just angry. How dare you laugh at me? Does that work? That hairstyle looks funny. Makes your head look big, man. What's happening there? Oh, anyway, it's just a joke. I did this for the banquet. And so, you know, you spend hours and hours and hours and hours looking through magazines and tweeting and WhatsApp in your hairdresser. This is what I want. And then this happens. And so that gets you so angry. But then you can sit down with people and they're blaspheming. They're sitting down, they're watching filthy music. And you don't... it don't get you angry at all. Listen, when I see things, sometimes I'll go to someone's house, I'm following up on them, and I'll be like, can we just turn that over? Can we switch that off? What is this? That's blaspheming, man. Go somewhere and I was somewhere with my wife, and there's a TV, and these young girls are shaking their bum, they're half naked. I said, that's somebody's daughter. That's somebody's daughter. Imagine that's my daughter. And I go somewhere and she's, listen, man, why are you shaking that thing? Put some clothes on, woman. Things get me angry because when God sees women being degraded, when I see young men whose lives are being wasted in a gang or in violence or in prison, young men that could have done something with their life, those things do anger me. See, Christ culture is all about the heart. And when Jesus is speaking about anger, he's talking about this anger which is, it starts in the heart and it starts to take over our life. See, what Jesus is saying is that anger and murder are just a different manifestation of the same corruption. A different manifestation of the same corruption. You ever heard of, you know, and the Bible speaks about leprosy. And I remember looking into a little bit about leprosy. Leprosy, we don't really have it. It's still in the world, but we don't really have it a lot in the world. But a leper, their limbs can just fall off. A finger can fall off. A toe can fall off. It can be like a, almost like a rotting of the skin. And so think about it now. Someone could have leprosy and their hand is falling off or something, you know, something serious. Their leg is, it has to be amputated. And another person could have leprosy and it's just their hair, they're losing their hair. Now we could say, well, one is worse than the other, but it's still all leprosy. So when God looks at anger, he's like, yeah, that's that anger. And then he looks at murder. He's like, listen, I look at the murder, but if I go back to the murderer, I go back into his heart. And in his heart is the same thing that's in your heart when you're controlled by that anger. He's looking at the same thing. See, God goes to the heart of the matter. There's no good that you got leprosy and we're just, okay, a bit of hair falling out. Let's buy you a wig. Put a wig on you. There you go. There's a wig. So we won't even see. But how many know that leprosy is going to get worse? And eventually then you will have to have something amputated or anything. Because you haven't dealt with the sickness. You got to go to the sickness. And Jesus, when he comes, this is the glory of Jesus. Jesus says, I've not come just to put a wig over your sinfulness. I'm not just looking to cover your sinfulness. He says, I want to come right to the heart of the matter and I want to heal it. I'm not just looking at the murderer. He says, listen, I'm going to go deeper, deeper, deeper into your heart and change who you are and deal with this issue. And he starts to expound upon the text. What he says is, he says that this is this anger. What you see is that it's the murder is the manifestation of a spiritual corruption, but this anger will seek to manifest itself. See, anger always will seek to manifest itself, this type of anger that we're talking about, actions and words. And so he says this, that you're going to come into judgment. Think about it now, he makes an analogy. Just like our murderer is brought into judgment. And when he's speaking about, he's talking about the Sanhedrin, he's talking about the authorities. A man, he's murdered somebody, they arrest him, they bring him before the judge. Judge him, deal with this. This thing cannot be ignored. Jesus says, this is exactly how he sees anger. He said, it cannot be ignored. It cannot be brushed over. I'm just angry. No, this thing has to be dealt with because this type of anger seeks manifestation, seeks to be expressed. He says, first thing he says, that they'll say, Reka. I remember reading that. Like, what is that? No one's saying that no more. Reka, bruv. I mean, no, that's not really. Raka. Then he says, you fool. And so he says, those that say Raka could be in danger of the judgment or the council. Those that say fool could be in danger of hellfire. I mean, that's when I start to, hey, I need to know what this says. See, when I looked at a few commentaries, what he's saying is there's an increase. This anger is taking over. This anger is taken to the next level. First of all, we see it wants to bubble up and express itself. It's saying things now. Reka, fool! But he's going from Reka to fool. And Reka, really what it means is like your empty head. That's what it means. Your empty head. You don't know what you're doing, man. It's an insult. When anger starts insulting, he says, Jesus says, no, we can't have this. When you're angry and you're using your words to tear somebody down. When you're so angry, you cannot hold your mouth anymore. It's going to be quiet. Eh? Oh, there is. The word, when he says fool, it really means someone who is worthless. You're nothing. So here's this, you know, it's an insult. You're worthless. You're nothing. It's a contempt. Jesus says this. Spam my iPad, sorry. Jesus says this. It's sin. You're sinning. I think this is very convicting for us as a church. You know, Wednesday night, you usually get your regulars out, solid core people that want to go deeper into the Word of God. And that's just a joy to the pastor, that people want, and seriously, that people want more of the Word of God. Some churches, listen, they can't even get people out every week, let alone twice a week. And we thank God for that. But can I say, we got to sometimes go a little bit deeper, is that this is like the Christian sin. Like, we find someone go raving, someone's pregnant, someone's, you know, selling crack, running with a gang. We'd be like, hey, did you hear what so-and-so's doing? But this is the one that we kind of just allow for. This is the one that we kind of live with. We allow it. It's okay. We all understand it. I won't tell on yours. You don't tell on mine. It's anger. It's the Christian sin. I'm just hot-headed. It's just the way I am. We make excuses. But they did this. Listen, God tells you, let's say this little square, if you can't see this, just believe me, there's a square here. Stay at this square. This is God. God stays in this square. This is where I'm going to bless you. This is obedience. Stay in prayer. Stay in the Word. Stay holy. Keep your temper. Don't lose your temper. Keep control yourself. Stay here. This is where you're going to be blessed. This is where anointing flows. This is where God speaks to you. This is the place. Then someone over here says, hey, come over here, you idiot. The one, you insulted me, so why should I listen to you anyway? But why am I going to move? God told me to stay here. Gweh. I'm not even going to deal with you. I'm going to ignore you. You need to get saved. That's the most you get from me. I love you, get saved. And the devil is sending all these things to try and move you from the place. And what we do is, someone gets us angry, and in anger we start to do and say things that moves us out of where God told us to go. This is what God told you to do. God told you how to respond to that person in your work. Love them, be kind to them, be patient with, listen, okay, I'm gonna love you, I'm gonna serve you. That husband, that wife, those kids, he told you exactly what you need to do. Stay in your place. He's gonna work everything else out. He's gonna work it out. All you've got to worry about is staying where God told you to be. But somebody does something, and so you're like, what? I put my game face on for you. What? Who are you talking to, furthermore? How many know that's how we go? That's how we start to act. Listen, you don't know who I am, furthermore. This is how we act. We've moved. You've moved way. Some of you have moved into another borough. But listen, you've moved from where God told you to be. And then what do we do is this? We blame them. But they did. But you don't know what they said. You don't know how she treated me. You don't know what he said to me. Listen. Nobody should move me from where God has placed me. Nobody should move me where God has placed me. Are they God? Listen, once you start to move, you've made them God. You've made them your God. You've made them bigger than God. See, I can be here. By God's grace, you can insult me, you can mock me, you can push me, you can say what you want about me. I just got to stay here. Listen, I've learned. I've been saved 20 years, and I've learned. That's a little time, but I've learned God will take care of them. Listen, I'm going to leave you to God. And that could be good for you or bad for you. All depends on you. But I'm staying here. God's going to take care of you. But my job is not to deal with you. My job is to deal with me and him. And when you move out, imagine God's like, where are you going? What are you doing? God's like, I can't deal with them now because you've moved, and I can't deal with you. What's going on? And God has said, you know what? I'm just going to allow you to have to wear yourself out. And then, God, where are you? God, oh, this is too difficult, God. Oh, God, this is hard. Oh, yeah. This is right. This should be. Yeah, you should have been here a year ago. See, don't make excuses. Don't overlook this. Jesus says this. We're going to wind things down a little bit. But Jesus says this in same chapter 5, verse 23. So we're going to continue reading on and deal with the second part of this anger management teaching. Verse 23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar. Let me just put this in there. Sometimes you're going to be in worship and God's going to drop something in your spirit. You're going to remember. That's not you. That's God doing something in you. Get this right. He's going to do something. You'll be in church. You could be reading your Bible. You're in devotion. You could be praying. I need a job. I'm going to drop something else in your spirit. What? Go forgive that person. No, I'm asking you for a job, not to forgive that person. What are you talking about? Anyway, forget that, man. You're like, yeah. God, I need favor in this. I need money. Go forgive your husband. God, come on, man. You're not. It's crossed wires here. You're telling him what? You're telling me what you should have told him. No, God says, listen, if you come and bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge hand you over to the officers and you are thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say unto you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. What the Bible is showing us here is that before you come to God, you must fix some relationships. Before you come to God, you must fix some of your relationships. He says, imagine this, that is, you know, Jesus is saying, you come to church and you're about to offer your worship or whatever you're going to do, and you realize, hold up, I need to be reconciled with sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, whoever it is, I need to reconcile. He says, put your gift there, go and sort this relationship out, then come back and deal with this. Now, in my logic, I would have thought, deal with that, worship God, have a wonderful time, and then go. But God's like, no. I want you to fix the relationship, because God is saying, for your vertical relationship to be correct, your horizontal relationships need to be correct. See, if your horizontal relationships are off balance, your vertical relationship will be off balance. See, there's a connection here. Remember what we said last week. Simple. The two things. Love the Lord your God with everything. Love your neighbor as yourself. Both of them are at the same level. Before you are making sacrifices in your ministry, before you are dealing with calling, before you are dealing with all of these things, church attendance and activities, he says, listen, you need to get some things right, relationships. You must seek reconciliation before sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, so Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. To obey God is better than making sacrifices. To obey God. God, you could come in here and you know, this is how we do. We live like a devil. We want to come into church, but I do this. I gave this much. God says, listen, I'd prefer that you obey than you give everything. He says, yeah, once you've done that, come back and give. Come back and worship. And what God is talking about is your worship. Can I say to you, listen, sister, if you're going around the church trying to counsel everybody and follow up on everybody, but you're not in right relationship with other sisters in the church, you need to, hey, listen, you need to hold your horses. Because you're like, yeah, mother hen of the church. You want to tell everybody, this is what we need to do. Come around my house, I'm going to tell you what to do. Listen, what you need to do is go and fix that relationship with that sister. Or maybe, sister, you need to go and fix that relationship with your husband. You're going around like you're going to tell other women what to do. But you're not in right relationship with your husband. Better you go home, cook him his favorite meal. And I'm not even going to say anymore. Hey. You better deal with some business. Listen, some of you are thinking, oh, this ain't not spiritual. This is very spiritual. Jesus said, go and reconcile. Amen. See, the husbands are like, amen, amen. You better tell him. You better tell him. I said, yeah, you hear me now? Guys are looking back at the salmon. Hey, well, I need this tape. I need two. Hey, are we videoing this? Listen, bro. You're going around counseling. You're the discipler, scripture giver, revelation. Let me tell you, bro. I want outreach. Give me that mic. And the Bible says, listen here, Senate. Maybe you need to go and get some things right with some brothers in here. Husband, maybe you need to go home. And on the way home, maybe you need to pick up some flowers. Yeah. And some chocolates. Yeah. And that dress that she wanted. Yeah. And drew out some money because she needs her hair done. And her nails. Hallelujah. You're like, oh, this is not spiritual. This is not spirit. Listen, this is spiritual. God sees, yeah, you could be doing everything so for the kingdom, sacrificing on your hands and knees, following up on people, doing giving money and preaching and that. And God says, listen, if you've got relationships that are out of joint, you better go and sort them out. You better go and sort them out. Even if there are people that are against you. He says, listen, because he said, if you remember someone is against you, maybe you've offended somebody, go and make it right. This is Christ's culture. How many know this is not the world? This is not the world. This is what God is looking for. God is looking down in the world. And he doesn't look in Hollywood. He doesn't look in number 10. He doesn't look in Washington. He's not looking for millions. He's not looking for millionaires, billionaires. He's not impressed by Bill Gates. He gave Bill Gates that brain. He's not impressed by Warren Buffett. Listen, he gave him the brain to do everything he's doing. He's not impressed by none of those things. But when he looks down upon the earth, he sees a few people living his culture, dealing with their anger and loving people and making things right. God's like, oh yeah, let me come down. Let me be there. That's what I've been looking for. That's Christ's culture. That's my kingdom. That's what a church should be. We should be known for the way we deal with our anger. The Bible says, if it's in Romans 12, if at all possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. See, I'm not going to say that you can fix every friendship. How many know you can't make everybody like you? That's just the reality. And the Bible's realistic because the Bible says, as much as depends upon you. He didn't say it's going to work out. He just said, you do your best. You don't have no beef with them. If they've got beef with you, you've tried. At least you can say you've tried. If you put I was going to worship God, but this person, I need to deal with this. Let me leave my gift there. Let me go, hey, how you doing, bro? You all right? Yeah. But he don't want to know me. He still don't want to know me, but I tried. I come here and I worship God. God receives my worship because he sees that I tried. See, there's some people here, you think, no, but they're not going to receive it anyway. That's got none of your business whether they receive it or not. You've tried. You've tried. You've tried. See, The glorious thing about when, if you can learn to deal with your anger, is that you give no place to the devil. You have victory over the devil. The Bible says, Ephesians 4 verse 26, be angry and do not sin. I read it in the beginning. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. You know what I'm saying is, get things right as soon as you can. Get things right. Maybe some of you right now, people are being deposited into your spirit. Names, things. You've never felt like this for a long time about getting some things right, dealing with some things. Don't leave here today. Don't shake it off. Don't be like, oh, it's just, ah. Don't shake it off. Just say, you know what, God, I'm receiving what you're saying. I'm going to go get this right. So don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Sometimes you got to prayfully work things out. How do I speak to that person? How do I deal with that? Sometimes it's not simple. There could be implications. There could be other things that are involved. Yeah, you prayerfully look forward. You look into it. Pray for God, help me. How do I, you know, where I don't even know where this person is. You got to pray about it and go through it. But you got to seek to be reconciled while you can, while they can. And in verse 27 of Ephesians, he says, nor give place to the devil. See, anger opens the door to your enemy. It opens the door to your enemy. And once your enemy comes in your house, he's going to vandalize it. The enemy, remember what the Bible says? He come to kill, steal, and destroy. Imagine if you knew there was somebody that really hates you. They want to come in your house, and their motive is to kill, steal, and destroy. They said, listen, if you let me in your house, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to steal everything. I'm going to destroy everything good, your family, everything. Would you let that person in the door? Listen, I'll shoot him through the letterbox. Edit that one. Get it out of the sermon. Edit that one. I'd love them even more. Use that. How many of us what you do? I'm going to hate. Ain't nobody. Let's go to bed, wife. I'm sure not going to open the door to them. But the Bible says anger opens the door to the devil. And he hates you, and he wants to kill you, and he wants to destroy you. That anger, that bitterness. Every culture has a distinctive. I said that in the beginning. If you see someone and they were Chinese, and you was like, you know, do you know about Kung Fu? It's like, I never heard of it. It's like, are you Chinese? Shaolin, monks? Stir fry? It's like, come on, there's certain things. Someone said to Jamaicans, rice and peas? I've never heard of it. Huh? How many of you like jerk chicken? Some of you, We know you're Jamaican, amen. You passed the test. There's some distinctives of different cultures. Whether you're Nigerian, whether you're Ghanaian, there's different distinctives. And some of you are waiting for that, aren't you? My wife is like, you'll see it. Can I say that this is one of our distinctives? People should see the way you deal with anger and be like, yeah. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I thought so, man. Well, you dealt with that situation there. You're different. This is not an excuse not to witness. I'm just going to go in and keep my temper and everyone's going to get saved. No, you still got to witness. But how many know before we can even witness sometimes, people should see something different about us. This is a distinctive. This is something that's distinctive about us. This is something that people should see and recognize. Wow, look at the way that they deal with anger. You're of a different culture than this world. What I see you doing is different. Different than your mom, different than your dad, different than you go back to your family, different. They're like, wow, you're different. What's the matter? Yeah, there's something. It's different, man. How you deal with anger now makes you stand out. See, we need to pray this, church. Listen, I need to be more like Jesus. I need to be more like Jesus. I need to understand what Jesus has for me. I need to pray and pray. Listen, the more and more I look at Jesus, the more and more I'm like, I need to pray more to be like Jesus. How many of you know that? To deal with this anger. And I want to tell you this. The last thing I want to say is this. Is that if you really want to change and you really want to deal with your anger and you want to be merciful, look at Jesus. And I don't mean just, you know, oh, look at Jesus. Praise God. No, I mean look at Jesus and his dealings with you. Oh my days. Look. look at his dealings with you. I remember recently, I was speaking to someone and I said, how's things going with that? And they said, the person's ignored me. I've tried to, but they've ignored me. I said, well, don't worry. Remember, you was ignoring Jesus for many years. That's how it is. I spoke to someone else. They was like, this person, you know, they don't appreciate what. How many know Jesus has done so much for you and we don't appreciate him? If we look at us and Jesus, you will know exactly what to do for somebody else. Because you would realize how gracious Jesus is to us. How gracious he is to us. How forgiving he is to us. How many know even after, I'm not even talking about before we got saved. We could dwell on that for a little while. That when you was in the club raving, when you was in a bed of fornication, when you stole that thing, when you told that lie, God saw and at any moment he could have snuffed you out of existence. He could have just said, forget that. That is not what I made you for. Many times I speak to people and they'll blaspheme God. They'll speak nonsense come out of their mouth. And the thing that comes in my mind all the time is, God gave you the breath to even say that. If I was God, listen, you're about to say it and I press a button. Yeah, just drop down there. Yeah, that's it. You just went too far, but you're dissing me. You know, if I was God, that's how I would roll. Thank you. Listen, I thank God I'm not God, because I would have dealt with me a long time ago. How many know that? I would have given up on me a long time ago. I know you think, no, you know, if I was God and me. No. Listen, you would have given up on you. God has been patient to you. God has been forgiving to you. God has been kind to you. But let's look at since you've been saved. Oh, how unfaithful you are since you've been saved. How unfaithful I am. How we are so quick to turn our affections back to the world. How the world can easily just woo us back to it. How we get so focused back onto the world. So, oh yeah. God's like, hey, listen, you was in the world. You did nothing for you. Came into the kingdom busted and disgusted. All you need is one text from an ex-boyfriend. Oh, maybe. Listen, maybe. He beat you and gave you a baby. And left you. Come on. I didn't get pregnant. Yeah, okay. Maybe you didn't get pregnant, but we know what he did to you. And sometimes you'll still reminisce. Remember that time he came around, bought me that perfume that was fake, put it on, turned my skin green. There's guys in there, hey, back in the day, man. Roll, you hear some old tune. Oh, I love this tune, man. You forgot how messed up you was, man. Can I say that the one grace I have is this church, one little grace I have. I have many graces, but one little thing that I can say is that I've come to the place where I don't reminisce about the world anymore. I don't desire the world anymore. I know, listen, it was dead for me. On the outside, you might have looked at me and I looked like I was having fun in the rave, doing all the things that young men do, but I was empty. I was empty. When I put my head on my pillow at night, I knew something was wrong. And God had mercy on me. And he has saved me. And since I've been saved, I have been unfaithful many times. The pastor has been up. Yes. I'm living clean. I'm loving God. I'm doing everything right that a man and a man of God should do. But I will tell you this much. To get to where I am now in the last 20 years, you know, 20 years I've done everything exactly right. It's God has got me here. It's God who showed his mercy after mercy after mercy. There are many stumbles and falls and mistakes and pride and arrogance and insecurity along my path that has brought me to this place. And so when I look back along my path and I'm like, God, you've been so good to me. When people offend me, I look at what I've done to God. Let me give you grace. And how I deal with my marriage, I look at my life. My days, you've been so gracious to me. Wife, it's grace. In the church, you see people and they mess up and they do things.
Look what he's done for me.
Grace. Look at Jesus. Look at his love and his grace, knowing that even though you're jacked up, you're still saved. That alone should be like, praise God, man. I'm just going to stay in my place. I love you. I love you. I love you. Amen. I'm just going to stay in my place. I'm not going to get angry. Yeah, I feel that vexed me, you know. That upset me. But I'm not going to move from where God told me to be. Let's give Jesus a clap off and a praise. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like every head.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.